anyone can sit there and memorize some sort of like doctrine or whatever or policy and then regurgitate the theory of something. But like for me, everything I'm teaching is founded in real world experiences. And, you know, it's not the gospel, right? There is no absolutes in tactics. If there is, then you're going to become irrelevant and you're going to become, well, dead.
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of Street Cop Training Podcast. Your host, founder and CEO of Street Cop Training. You like how I turned that shit on real quick, right?
Yeah, dude.
My name is Dennis Menino. Yeah.
Like, it's like a flip or a switch you just flip.
Anyway, bro, thanks for being here. This is Kyle Morgan. People will be familiar with him, I'm sure. But for people that aren't familiar with you, tell us about who you are, your context, your history, your time with Delta, and all that shit. And dude, if I say anything that I'm misquoting or mislabeling or missaying, believe me, brother, I have nothing but the utmost respect for motherfuckers like you. I appreciate everything you've done for this country. I'm at your beckoning call and with no expectation of anything in return. Although I'm asked that at times, guys who are special forces and these Congressional Medal of Honor winners are like, hey man, is there anything I can do for you? And I'm like, nah, I think you've done enough. We're good. I would call this me indebted to you forever. And I know you guys don't feel that way because you have a lot of humility, and for some odd reason, like the Delta guys and Navy SEALs are the nicest guys on earth. Like the fucking nicest dudes in the world are the dudes who are the baddest motherfuckers. It just proves that. But Kyle Morgan, thanks for being here, dude. And tell us about you.
So I'm Kyle Morgan with Blue Bearing Solutions. And I'm going to see if I can flip that switch like you just did. I'm horrible at business for one, but I love the challenge of learning new things. And I think that's a big part of me, you know, being in this space, not just to sharpen my own skills, but, you know, using my experience, you know, and in my military career. So if you guys don't know who I am, I spent 20 plus years in the Army, and a majority, almost all of it here at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I say here because we still live here. I have four kids, you know, one's graduated from Florida State this year. One's 17. My daughter is 17. She just finished high school and she's doing community college, you know, right now. And then my other daughters are 15 and 8. My 15-year-old is she'll be 16 next month, but you know she's you know, we just the day to day, you know, which is what I love about now that, you know, I do have a new mission. My new mission is simply to be a good person, a good husband, a good father, and hopefully one day a good grandfather, which is a paradigm shift from, you know, I think I was trying to have those things or do those things in my military career. But for whatever reason, the mission, whatever it was, I placed it above everything else, whether I intentionally did that or not, it was happening. So my, you know, like the normal day-to-day stuff, man, is like my daughter's in track and she's, you know, that's a newer thing for her. So she's a freaking beast, man. Like she reminds me of me when I was that age. She wouldn't like me saying that, but you know, nothing I do is cool. Because I'm dad, but I get to be dad, which is awesome. And I think the biggest part about being in my, you know, my military career being in, you know, I was in the infantry in the 82nd. I was in 7th Special Forces Group for a bit before they moved to Florida. And then I was in Delta Force for, you know, 10 plus years. I'll just say that I couldn't be more proud of my military career is what I was able to do. And I endured a lot because God knew now I see that for what it is and all the blessings that I've been given. But now I'm doing something with it, you know, through staying sharp, staying engaged, staying connected with humanity, and trying to, you know, cause I think for a long time in my life, I thought it was my oldest kids. It was too far gone as far as those relationships. But I'm going on like a little bit of a tangent here, but just because, you know, I just went to a track meet with my daughter yesterday, and I'm just beyond proud of the young adults that they've become and are becoming. And it goes back and really just reminds me of all the stuff that, like, the lies you tell yourself, right? Like, of placing the mission first because I could, right? It became more about me than it did about like being a part of something bigger than, you know, and serving this country, it really turned into this, like this, it became my identity. So now I've gotten a chance, thank God, to like reinvent myself and be the father, be the person that I was intended to be. And I'm able to use all those experiences that I had, in the military and special operations specifically. And, you know, and help carry that over into my day-to-day life and then how I train others as well, that knowledge transfer piece, which is what I do with Blue Bearing Solutions, the company that I started last year on terminal leave. And the focus with that company is active shooter response. That's what I focus on. That's my passion. I don't want to see another child taken from us, you know, and every course I do is to get to the protector mindset course, which is, I just finished one up on Sunday. And, you know, it's my mission as far as knowledge transfer and sharpening the edges of others. And this is great, especially the timing of this, just based on this podcast anyways, because there's a ton of people out there that want to train SWAT and all these tactical teams with special operations experience, and good on them. But for me, yeah, I'm doing that with my local SWAT team. I'm donating my time, training them once a month. And I open a spot up, one slot to the course, any course I do, and I donate that time. I can't do that across the country, but, you know, because I want them, I want to give back to our community here. But the main focus for me is that patrol officer, the off-duty officer, you know, that as far as being positioned to respond in the amount of time that they need to be able to respond to make a difference in these types of attacks. And it's not necessarily tactical teams. So that is the mission at Blue Bearing Solutions. And the mission that I have now will never, I'm not going to make my family fit that mission. The mission's going to fit into my family or it won't exist. So that's where I'm just trying to do this and scale it very, you know, appropriately. And, you know, and then reel back when we need to. We are right now, based on, you know, planning this year out on paper. The end of last year, we planned out the whole year, but now that I'm a quarter into it, I'm fucking smoked, man. And, you know, I got to be able to maintain my own health, right? My own personal, mental, physical health and spiritual. And when that starts to suffer, you know, like it is, in, you know, right now, you know, I have to take a good look at it. And I've started to really, my wife runs the business side of the company now. And, you know, it's like I said, it has to fit our family and not the other way around. That was kind of a long introduction. I kind of jumped all over the place, but you know, fuck it. Here we are.
Dude, I don't think it's any secret that most of us are blessed with ADD or ADHD. It is probably my superpower. That's funny. Recently, I went to joined a mastermind of group, and it's all founders of organizations and very successful people. And everybody in the room, their literal claim to fame is how bad their ADHD is. And I find it very interesting that society marks this as something that's bad. And it's literally something that has given me everything that I have and currently possess. And now it's pretty.
It's how you harness it, though, man. It's like, you know, it truly is like how you can harness it. Like I have to, if I need something to do with my hands, you know, and it helps you focus, you know, on the task, and then taking notes and things like that. There's definitely unharnessed ADHD that can be a fucking nuance in your life, but totally agree, man. It's like, it truly is high functioning idiots, I guess. I don't know what the best word is.
Well, I think, I actually think
degenerates.
Degenerates, right. High functioning, intelligent degenerates. And the crazy thing is, nothing breaks my heart more when I see a kid get medicated by their parents to fit into the mold of the school system. It makes me fucking nuts, because I know who that kid is. That kid is me. And, you know, literally just extinguishing that flame because they don't fit into this square peg drives me square hole and they're a round peg. It makes me insane that people are putting the school system on a pedestal to this day. It's just interesting what they're telling these kids and what the real truth is, that the kid who's getting C's and D's in your class is probably going to own half of this fucking town one day because he just doesn't have any interest in learning this stupid shit to pump it down these kids' fucking throats that is completely useless beyond the age of 10. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when's the last time you referenced something for real life from high school?
I mean, English literature would probably be the thing I wish I'd have paid attention to more, that you could learn and grasp. You know, it just helps from, you know, just grammar and especially like, you know, professionalizing your written correspondence and things like that. But to your point, though, I agree 100%. Like my daughter, she's the 15-year-old. She was diagnosed with ADHD, I think, when she was probably 12. And because I could see it clearer than day. Like I watched, we'd go to a family or there'd be a function or something and there'd be a brief or whatever. And, you know, everyone's paying attention. Like my oldest kids or the older two are like taking notes and just sitting there patiently. And she at the time was just like, I think it was a class or a brief on adult ADHD because I have it like significantly. Yeah. Like I had it as a child, but it was undiagnosed because I didn't grow up in an environment where, well, many things were taken care of, but you know, and then I saw where I started to act out and when things got more difficult or rather than difficult, boring, right? I started to lash out and do all these other things. But, you know, long story short is like, you know, we got her all the testing and everything, but we haven't changed. The only thing we changed, like we didn't medicate her. The only thing we changed is we give her more attention. Like we're more patient with her. And now that she's about to be 16, like things have just kind of, she's found things that interest her. And that's what I love about like each of my children are so unique. And, you know, but I definitely don't want to just pump meds and try to appease some sort of academia system. Like where
that's failed, by the way,
where they're measuring.
Destroyed.
Well, I do like, I went to a parent teacher conference, last year. My youngest was struggling, with where she was at with her reading. And, you know, it was just a really good spot check for us as parents. Like, how can we continue like to progress her while she's not in school, right? Because they only have a limited amount of time and they can't focus individually on every child, you know, maybe for periods, but like that was just a really good like wake up for us, you know, as parents to do more, right? But when I was in that conference, like they even called it an intervention. They used the term intervention. And I was like, hey man, can we just talk about like the term intervention? Like that there's some sort of negative connotation to that phrase, that term. Like, why are we going to do this? And maybe it wasn't intervention, but a word along those lines where it had a negative kind of aspect to it. And I'm like, hey man, this is the child's still developing and learning, right? So let's just like, it's a support, you know, let's circle the wagons. And now the thing is like, now she's like exceeding her grade level with it, you know? It was like this crisis. And I'm like, hey man, first of all, like stop radiating that type of, you know, that shit's contagious. The kids feel it. Right. So like if they feel like they're just failing at everything, that's not the learning environment I want to learn in. And I'm sure you can agree. Like, yeah. And it also like, that's how I create the learning environments that I create, regardless of your level of skill. Like it's on me as an instructor. If I'm going to call myself an instructor, I don't need to just be good at what I do. I need to be able to communicate it to everybody that is, you know, paying to be there or that is being that is there. And that's I love that challenge as a teacher. And that's that part that I have to continue to, it's what keeps me doing this. Like I that knowledge transfer piece, it's not just like anyone can sit there and memorize some sort of like doctrine or whatever policy and then regurgitate the theory of something. But like for me, everything I'm teaching is founded in real world experiences. And you know, it's not the gospel, right? There is no absolutes in tactics. If there is, then you're going to become irrelevant and you're going to become, well, dead or a liability. So it's very much like it's part of the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing is that challenge of truly being able to communicate. And it's like communication is based on compassion. It's based on like paying attention to people, you know, and how they learn. So,
dude, you know, it's interesting. There's a saying, and you could intermix the C or D, but it's A students work for C students, right? So if you think about this, what they're saying, if you unpack that a little bit, is the men and women who were so bored in school that they didn't give a shit about getting the A, ended up getting the C's and D's just to pass and get through it because it was something they had to do, they were forced to do it, are your creatives, your problem solvers, your innovators. And typically most of them are the ones who are entrepreneurs who run companies. They're the big cheeses there. They're typically not the straight A students. However, I'm going to correlate law enforcement to this a little bit, and I think a lot of people will appreciate this. In law enforcement, in a lot of places, the fastest way to get to the top is to test by ingesting, retaining, and then regurgitating information onto paper. And then they say, oh, that's now you're ready to be a supervisor. However, what gets left behind is all the men and women who aren't good test takers, who have actually the skills to innovate. And you can see these people doing phenomenal work as patrolmen, really resolutions where a lot of their administration's leaning on them for solutions and advice. They're almost clueless on what to do at times because they don't know how to solve real world problems because they can't go back to a textbook to try to find the answers. And it's very interesting of how we end up with the big leadership problem when you start looking at how we're selecting leaders based on a comprehensive test. And the scary thing is less than 1% of police agencies in the country are selecting leaders based on leadership qualities that are proven to be the ones you want to possess the most. It's actually just the opposite. I think about this guy that I worked for. He's a lieutenant. He's a fucking nightmare. Not a bad guy, but I remember bragging to somebody in the hallway, overheard the conversation. He was a sergeant. He said, got sent to leadership school. And he was laughing. He's like, I went to leadership school and everything they talked about is just the opposite of everything that I do, and was okay with that. He didn't want to change. And it just goes to prove to you, this is why this motherfucker, nobody can stand him. You know what I mean? How did this dude, and I saw somebody recently, I said, oh, they go, who's your sergeant? Guy who used to work there. I said, it's this guy. He goes, how the fuck is that guy a sergeant? He couldn't even do the fucking job as a patrolman. How is he a sergeant? I said, I don't know. And then the guy went on to be the lieutenant, and he's a fucking nightmare. It's a fucking nightmare to work for because he had no actual skills in how to lead or communicate or problem solve. But I tell you what, taking a fucking written test. And yeah, that's where a lot of the rub of what we deal with in this profession comes from.
Yeah, that's kind of eye opening for me. I think I knew that, like that was how it's assessed. But I'm learning a ton as I work with law enforcement across this country. Like, I think the biggest thing that I tell all of them right out the gate, I'm like, hey man, I'm not here to teach you how to be a SWAT officer, how to be a patrol officer. Like, that'd be criminal of me to come in and teach you how to do your job. I've never done your job and it's not my job. I'm here to increase your survivability and your lethality. God forbid you have to use lethal force. But the thing is like, I'm learning, you know, even vernacular, like even like all these things, you know, from what I did before. That's the challenge for me, right? Is to be able to communicate that to actually provide a service and truly sharpen the edges of you guys that are out there protecting us every fucking day. And you don't know when your number is going to get called or what, like the environment. I don't envy it, right? I know that it's needed and we need the right people doing it. And I'm here and I am here to help in any way I can, like for all of you to be more prepared. And but I tell people, like I said, right at the gate, like I'm not here to teach you how to do your job. That would be like, it would be criminal of me. And part of that also is I've never done the job and I don't understand the environments that you guys work in. I don't understand. There's parallels that I can help like extract. But I'm learning a ton as I'm having all these conversations and meeting with different teams across this country. And, you know, that's on me to continue to do that work. But like, I just went down another tangent, but to the point is like, this is education. The fact that you broke down and told like the, you know, the statistics of how there's a comprehensive test and, you know, and realizing that that it, you can't be the only one that knows this and that is saying it. More people need to be saying it and drawing awareness to the fact that if the system is clearly is broken, like how that's working.
And dude, when I tell you the system is broken, I'm going to just jump in real quick and just comment on that because I don't want to lose that thought. The system is so bad. Literally, I had a conversation with a guy who's coming into tweaks and adjustments and some things that we're not doing right and da-da-da as a company. We're doing a lot of things right, but we're not doing everything we should be doing in the sense from a business format and standpoint. And I just said to him, I'm literally trying to reinvent the whole thing because it's that bad that we literally have to trash 95% of it and start over with a new way to do things. If everybody would like the progression of this profession to improve and you want to get public support and show everybody that we are professionals, you can rely upon us. It is a fucking disaster. It is a complete shit show. And the people most responsible for it are politicians and top level police administrators. As fucking nuts as that sounds.
Yeah. And like, dude, that's I'm here as a resource along the way. And that's realizing that like you and me and all of us can only control what we can actually control, right? Our actions, our reactions, our circles, you know, like as far as that circle is really small, you know, and this really helps, like this has helped me a ton realizing, you know, daily, like instead of spending time and energy outside of these circles that you can actually either impact, you can influence and maybe be aware of, right? These three kind of concentric rings. And anything outside of that, man, is noise. And if you're spending time out there motherfucking this and motherfucking that, you could be taking that time and applying it to your actual circles and making a fucking change. And that's what we have to do. And, you know, that's where, you know, I am not law enforcement, but I'm here as a resource. And I've made that very clear to my circles, right? And more guys like me and other retired LE, there's so much experience inside of this fucking country that know what right looks like. We just got to get the platforms, like you've built this platform and like I'm building for with Blue Bearing, you know, and so many others, and just like build it. We need to make a syndicate of capable people and companies to leave this country better than we fucking found it. And whenever we found it, you know, metaphorically, like I've been focusing on combating terrorism abroad for more than half my adult life. But now I truly am looking inward at myself and at this country. And there's a ton of work to do, but I'm not spending time out there motherfucking everything. Like, fuck this, that's fucked up. Like, if shit's fucked up, like, what am I going to do about it? You know, so that's where I try to stay in that space, man. But realizing that we can grow our spheres of influence and actually make, you know, make an impact together.
Dude, there's this vision that I have over and over again. And I go through this whole thing with no accolades other than the fact of word of mouth and direct messages and in person and emails of the success and the thank yous, which is wonderful. And the other side of it, I get the crap as well. But I have this vision at the end of my life being a very old man, 87, 88 years of age. I imagine this conversation later on, as nutty as this may sound, with this award where it said they go, and Dennis Bonino, against all adversities, actually fundamentally changed how law enforcement actually worked in this country. So let's just take that there for a second. To get there, what's the work that I have to do? And that's literally, I'm looking 45 plus years ahead of my life to say, I have this much time to get to that award. I have to earn it. How the fuck do I get there? Because that's all I want to hear at the end. It's not something about me, is that I had a real opportunity. I didn't blink and I was able to implement change. And the cool thing is when you do work like this, you can constantly take a temperature of how the progress goes and say, wow, we're actually moving the needle forward more than you think we actually are. And thank God to technology, because that really has helped us move our needle forward and push our progression. And I don't think anybody outside of those who don't understand it or are threatened by it can really have beef with what the mission is. And the mission overall, and I say this over and over again, is to ensure cops don't die, to ensure people don't die, and to make sure criminals go where they belong. And by the way, promote professionalism, knowledge, all that stuff. But that's the macro. Most important stuff is the preservation of human life and ensuring that criminals go where they belong. And this, the rest of it kind of falls underneath that of more tactically sound police officers, more law knowledge cops who don't violate the Fourth Amendment because they don't intentionally. It's unintentional. It's not a purposeful thing that they do. They just, they've never been true. Dude, yeah. We just did a video right now before we did this. I had a thought last night. I watched a video of four or five cops around a car, and I see this dude go up to the car and start hitting the fucking window with the ass baton. Right, takes out his fucking baton, his collapsible stick, and he starts fucking hitting the window. And it's until you've done it, you realize it doesn't work. You would think in your mind, I'm going to take out this stick, I'm going to hit the window, and it's going to break it. It doesn't. And if it does, and somebody from a company that has straight batons and collapsible batons will say, "Well, no, it actually works. If you do it, if you hit it here three times exactly in this spot," like, come on, guys, this is heat of the moment shit. One of the dumbest things, and I'll say it here on the podcast, and people see it on our social media platforms, that will be one of the most significant tools of your career, because you're going to have to break windows multiple times as a police officer, is a $8 to $10 item, and it's a spring-loaded window punch. The reason I like this is you can hold the tip on it, you pull it back, it's a spring-loaded thing, and you let go, and it shatters the window.
Yeah.
The reason I don't like the one where you push and hold against it, I seen a guy's hand go through that one time and like get sliced up from the glass. So I like this one, right? I don't work for those companies. I don't like the product. But could you imagine these guys go to an academy for 6 months and not one person says, "Hey, by the way, on top of the things we should have told you and we didn't, here's a new one. You're going to have to break glass. Here's a video, because we don't have glass to break, on how this dumb thing works. You're going to take this. You're going to hold it here. Joey's Pizzeria down the roadway." This is a real Jersey type of fucking reference, right? Joey's Pizzeria down the roadway has donated to this class $400 for all of you to take one of these window punches back to your agency with you and have it for the career. It's just a piece of metal. And if you lose one, they're $8 on Amazon. And we have just saved you a whole heap of trouble. And now when a car's on fire, instead of you trying to figure out how you're going to break that window or kids trapped inside, you will have the resource you need to ensure that there's a more speedy process in place. And you got to sit out there, look like a fucking jackass trying to break a window. Could you imagine, Kyle, that this is just this one little quote unquote intervention? Sorry about that. But this change, this little change in a.
That is absolutely an intervention.
Yeah, but I'm saying this dumb change
needs to happen. Yeah.
And you got, dude, listen, I can't tell you how many times I've brought things to the attention of my command staff. Every agency that I worked at, I'm like, "Hey, I think we should do this." And they're like, "Yeah, go answer your radio." And I'm like, "Yeah, but do you understand that, like, this is a big, this is a simple fix to a big problem?" You really, and then, you know, people say, "Well, why didn't they listen to you?" Like, I wish your guess is as good as mine. But clearly, if we look at the success of this training company and what we're doing here at Street Cop Training, I mean, my superpower essentially, or at least one of them, which I don't have many, is to resolve problems. That's what I do. I'm so, do we have our conference coming up in 3 weeks? Day one and two is be nothing but problems, and I'm pumped. I'm pumped, dude. I can't explain to you how excited I am to experience the problems of day one and two. I'm just like, it's like my crack cocaine, because I love fixing shit. It's my jam.
Well, it's mind blowing to me that, you know, and I'm jaded, right? I'm super jaded with all this shit, because when we saw, I say the former me, you know, and Brent, you know, Brent Tucker and I went to OTC together, and I've known him for a long time. And
I love that dude, bro. He's a good ass motherfucker.
He is, man. He's doing great things too, man, with the first responder coffee company. So I got nothing.
He's a great dude. I'm a resource for him. I left my door open anytime he needs it, and I'm glad to help him.
Yeah, I really appreciate that too, man, because that's exactly my point, is like the right people stepping up and trying to make a change and trying to give back and help. It helps us, you know, from what we used to do to having a new mission, feeling and staying connected with this society. Like, this is the greatest country to live in. I don't give a fuck what people think. That's the truth. To live and to grow up with and to be an American, regardless of all the noise, like, we got to remember that. Or if you've never been told that or lived it, or excuse me, you've lived it, you live it every fucking day. So it's like remembering the fact that and echoing that, right? Like, and but I am like jaded with the fact that when we identify problems, there's a system in place, right? Either whether it's from the planning process to execution and actions on to our AARs, like the reason that unit that I was in and Brent was in is the most like lethal and efficient fighting force on this planet is the people that they put together and maintaining accountability. Anyone can get fired for performance related issues like at any point. There's no tenure. But you can step up there's a platform for you to say like daily, right? And your inner team, whether you're the brand new guy or not there, like, but there's forums, like you don't leave a room after any big training mission or real mission. You do these after actions reviews and it gets fucking heated and emotional, but it's based on like their people's perspectives and then having what they saw or heard or felt, you know, hey, to complete that picture, right? And that's why you do it in this forum of a group, a team, and you don't leave there until you actually identify like what it is. Is it in fact a tactical misstep or a problem or a shortcoming or, you know, and then there's some sort of plan of action like that gets started, right? Even if it's just talked about, it's going to be followed up with. And we do that everything with everything we do, like from team to troop to squadron training and missions. It goes back to that point of like, it's mind blowing to me that you can't take something that you guys know as simple as like how you break side glass on a efficiently, you know, and there's a ton of technology and tools out there. There's a lot of snake oil salesmen out there that want to sell you the next best thing since sliced bread. But there's some basic like principles, you know, and if something is antiquated or was taught like, hey, let's beat the fuck out of this window with our baton. And that it's just being continued to like permeated, you know, through different academies, like how that can't be, that intervention can't happen and voices can't be heard, you know, and then, hey, let's test this out. Let's run a pilot course.
Like I'm trying to constantly understand the psychology behind why there's no progression. I get that people don't like change. I get that people don't like accountability. People don't like me for saying these things until it's your family under the side of the fucking wall. And the guy can actually break the window and pull your kid out of a burning vehicle because he got some kind of advice from a podcast. And that's why people subscribe to the Street Cop Training brand, because we're not in here saying, hey, give us your money. You get nothing in exchange. We're saying, hey, give us your support. We have found the right people to help fix this motherfucker. And people hate it, dude. I literally have government coming after me at times over literally nothing. And I'm trying to understand the psychology of that. Why does that happen? How do you take a guy who in his mind and has the support of hundreds of thousands of people and make me look like some kind of villain? It's very, very interesting to me. Hey guys, if you're enjoying the Street Cop Podcast, do us a favor and give us a review on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you're listening to us. Tell a friend. We don't charge anything for the episodes. We appreciate your support. Check us out on any social platform by putting into the search bar Street Cop Training. Give us a follow. We have a lot of free content coming out every single day that you might not catch here on the podcast. And it's important for you to be able to do your job more professionally. And we also entertain you as well.
Well, there's a professional jealousy aspect to it too. Like people, you know, if you're putting out things that are, you're stepping out of your own social construct by doing what you're doing, and you're doing it for the right reasons, and it's helping save lives and prepare officers for gaps in their own training, which we all, I mean, if you don't know, here's the reality. Like there is a standard and then there's a sub standard. Like if whatever's below that is what we put out across, and there is no, like, you can't say this state has this city has this county, there is no fucking standard. But I will say that, you know, as an entry level operator or patrol officer, like if you make it, get credentialed, like now you should say, hey, it's a great day for you, but guess what? Now you need to learn how to do your fucking job and seek out the right people that are putting out things like you and so many others, because they're not going to find it. I hate to say it, but unless it's I don't like saying things as absolutes, but you know exactly what I mean. Like across this country, like there is a massive need for training and quality, and dude, honestly, quality training.
Period. In every fucking aspect. And I'm working with a guy now who's a pretty successful dude. We kind of hit it off. It's been a very interesting year for me. And, you know, I have this discussion with him of like, man, if we can help this many cops, what other professions can we help? And that's neither here nor there for the moment, but let me blow your
mind. A ton. You guys set the standard. You guys set the pace. You're out there every fucking day impacting and touching and reaching like so much of our society, as fucked up as it is at times. Like you guys have the ability to truly make like an impact on so many people's lives, whether you realize it or not. Like the environment you go into when no one gives a flying fuck about like this kid, right? Or he's a byproduct of the environment that he's in, but they see your professionalism, they see your confidence, your ability to make decisions under stress. And man, that shit is like fair, right? And humane. Like all of those things, you guys aren't fucking robots, right? Like everyone out there should thank every fucking police officer they see for what they do. The problem is there's a lot of ego that carries over into being credentialed and having this badge. And those are the motherfuckers that are doing it for the wrong reasons anyways. You know, that's from a leadership perspective. But if you even think about that from like as a sergeant or a team lead, you know, on a team, like all of those opportunities to the guys and gals that are there that want to learn, that are hungry, that have the aptitude, right? Those people are worth investing in. So like, I got nothing but time for them. And that's really where I think we at the levels that we are can make the biggest impact. I think it starts with the academies. It starts with like who they're bringing in and actually showing them what the job is going to entail versus like, hey man, like this is all like kind of smoke and mirrors. And then you get out into the real world and then you get hit with what you're going to be asked to do. Like, I think the academies need to have more realistic, like scenarios driven training where it's like, right. Hey, I'll check agree. This out. Like,
I'll even jump in and say that it goes way beyond that. It goes to these politicians, and we're living in the time now where, oh, for so many years, we need change. We need change. We need change. Cool. Show me where you've changed it. And what all they've done, these jokers, is the change they implemented was put more restrictions on police, which didn't resolve the issue, took police money away, and also tried to put watchdog organizations on law enforcement to make sure oversight from civilians to keep the cops in line. That was actually the wrong solution, you stupid fucks. That was the wrong thing to do. That's why you're not problem solvers. You did not resolve anything. There are not better cops now because you put more policies in place. What you did was you gave a free pass to criminals and tried to create less friction between you and between anyone in law enforcement. You could say, oh, look, our UCR crime stats are down. You're telling your guys don't touch, go near anybody, no intervention, no proactivity. Of course, you're dissuading police from doing their jobs. Most do not take this profession, to give you a little context of how it goes. 99% of them take this job because they want to be cops, not for the wrong reasons, not because they're picked on in high school. They want to go out and harass the world. The problem is there is a lack of guidance and training and skill set given to them to go out and perform this job. So then they start going into what they think police work is, writing tickets, which is just something that just gets under my skin tremendously. I just saw a video, and it's gone viral, of this California cop who stops this kid because he didn't modify the rating, his sports mode on his car, and he's harassing him. And I'm like, this is not what we're supposed to be fucking doing. Who gives a shit that his car backfires, you fucking loser, dude? Like, are you fucking kidding me? That's what you're doing with your time? You got cartel members kidnapping human beings, moving narcotics, people being taken advantage of, robberies, burglaries, and we're pulling a kid over and breaking his chops because some liberal politician put in place that they're not allowed to have sport mode on their fucking car? Come on. Like, just come on. And you want to know why people don't like the police? It's people like you that make that see these videos. I mean, and he was a dick too. He's a fucking dick on the traffic. So I don't care if he doesn't like me or not. I don't care if people don't want to agree with this. But show me a cop who rescues three kids in a car who are being trafficked, right? Like human trafficking. And I will say this is the display of what we should be doing with our time. Let me unpack this for a little bit, just for a second. You go to every cop before they go to academy is told the same thing. You'll learn nothing here. You go to academy and learn nothing. And I get there's obviously some academies that are really good and don't fall into this category. Not many. They go into field training with typically somebody who, one, doesn't even want to be a field trainer. Two, might be doing it because they're motivated by the incentive to collect an hour and a half of comp time for actually taking the time to field train somebody. And then we're sending them out into the field. And 23 weeks later, when they try to do the job and fuck up, they're getting suspended or fired. Yet the agency should be suspending or firing itself. You have failed this person completely. Ask them to do a job that's very difficult. And I'll also put some culpability and responsibility on the police officer. There are cops that can take training that will keep them alive, prevent lawsuits, give them confidence, all this shit for $200 to $300 bucks per clip. Now, these are the same cops that went and got a $68,000 college degree, but have no interest in choosing themselves, waiting to be selected because they don't want to spend their money. And on top of it, we'll go out and go fucking party on the weekends or go bass fishing, spend $600 on a fucking fishing pole, but will not do anything to progress their career on a product. And I'm not saying you need to take my product, but there are products out there that will help you stay alive. What is your life worth? Right? What is your life worth? You know how many times people write back after our training, like, hey, I'm alive because you guys, and you got cops, you're like, I'm not spending $249 to go to a course. That's crazy. I shouldn't have to. Well, guess what? I shouldn't have to do a lot of things that I do either. I shouldn't have to pay the fucking fee that I am paying to be part of that mastermind group that I'm in. But you guess what? I have met three people thus far that have now changing the dynamic of this company. So people just don't want to spend this upfront investment because they don't want, they can't understand what the ROI is. And guess what? Sometimes you're going to spend money and you're not going to get an ROI. That's just the game. But how can you put a price on the variable of your life? Is your life worth $250? Yeah. How are you selecting the new springs for your F-250 to raise it up 3 inches higher, but not your life? It's fucking flabbergasting. And these conversations have to happen. But people get very, I've been told this, we got to watch what you say. We're going to ruffle feathers.
Yeah.
How long can we watch what we say and let more people die? Right? Like how, This is a profession where human beings are losing their lives and we got to watch what we're going to say because we're going to offend people because this chief here or this captain here, who this represents a reflection of who he is, right? Doesn't like it because it exposes them because they are the problem. But I got to tell you, dude, I say this over and over again. I have more friends that are chiefs, captains, deputy chiefs, lieutenants, sergeants, patrolmen, more that support me than don't. I'll tell you that right now. So I got to be doing something right. Anyway, that's my rant. You fucking ranted to start. I'm ranting now.
Yeah. Dude, we could just go on and go on, man. I love it. And to echo, like, keep doing what you're doing. Like, fuck everyone else that doesn't see it. And maybe they're just not ready to receive it yet. But the fact that you're doing what you're doing and you're putting the things out and you're saving lives, like by doing what you're doing, like that's exactly what a legacy that you're leaving is that, right? If you, and to your point about the, you know, at 86 or 102 years old, you look back and you actually had a fundamental impact and change on some pretty significant things as a part of, you know, policing, you know, and like that's huge. Like that is truly a legacy, right? Like
I'm gonna share something with you real quick. I just want to jump in here real fast.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, we happened to go to Walgreens by my house, and hopefully the guy who this story's about is listening. And I got recognized going into the stores 3-4 years ago. My kids were little and they had a marked patrol car. So I said, hey, can my kids take a picture in your car? And he goes, oh, dude, I know who you are. This is fucking great. Da, da, da. And the one dude, the guy was great. And he goes, yeah, they could sit in the car. I go, yeah, yeah. I just want to get a few pictures of them in the car. They love the cops. You know, they're obviously, you know who I am, what I do. And I'll never forget this. It plays in my head all the time. The cop looked at my oldest son and said, your daddy's a legend, you know? And I went, no, I'm not. He goes, your father's a legend. And that was such a, dude, it resonates with me a lot because that's how he saw me and the work that I was doing. So I'm reminded by these little things in my life of why the work that we're doing is important, on top of the how countless people who said, I didn't want to take my life because of something you said, or I'm not the chief I would have been if it hadn't been for you guys. I'm now here to support my men and women. Just a lot of perspective changes, a lot of shifts, and we constantly collecting this data to make sure that the work that we're putting out is having a good return on our efforts.
Yeah. And that's the part where, like, you're building something that will stand the test of time because of that statement right there. If you're doing it for the right reasons and you're able to pick your head up, because sometimes, and I know you know this, it's like really hard to see the impact that you're having and making. And then you start to like really focus on the wrong things, like maybe all the negative, right? Because the negative pieces of this, I know I deal with this too, you know, especially with all the keyboard warriors out there that want to tell me that paper targets would defeat me or kill me in training, and with some of the stuff on social media and with their lacking context and the fact that I'm leading from the front and setting examples for or forcing certain things out of my students. It's really easy to focus on some of the negative stuff, man. But the fact is like, if you can focus on the gratitude piece of this, right. And then remind yourself and surround yourself with people that can help, like, you build each other up. And like that statement that you made about like the impact that what you're doing is having on other people, like, believe it, you know, believe that shit, because it is in fact the truth. And it's hard to see, you know, because we, for one, being the right people doing this, they're humble, they're being vulnerable, they're, you know, leading from the front, they're doing all these things, and it really does help for other people to tell you and give you that type of feedback. I know it really helps me stay grounded in what I'm doing and validate the fact that it's going to, you know, it's going to save lives. It's going to help other people. And you mentioned this a minute ago, and I think the core mission, you know, is active shooter response with my company, but the underlying mission every day in my life is, if I can help one person, like if they reflect on something I said or did, and interacting with them, if it helps them change the trajectory of them, you know, considering taking their own life, then I would have succeeded in this new mission that I have from God. And because I want, and that's where the parallels you can't deny between, you know, being in combat for 20 plus years on every front that we've had in this global war on terrorism, and the fact that you guys have been fighting, you know, this fight here in this country within the borders of our own country every fucking day, and the toll that takes on us as human beings. And it takes people like me and you and so many others to step up and say, hey man, like, it's all right. Like, you're not fucking, there's nothing wrong with you. Like, the fact that like things impact you, like, that's where other people have to realize that there's a shelf life on this, man. Like, staying in these environments for so many extended periods of time, like, you need to have moments of reprieve doing maybe a different job within your own organization or, you know, whatever that help you, you know, not lose sight and stay grounded. And that's why I said, like, the main mission is staying connected with humanity for me. And so I really admire the fact that you said that, right, about like helping save other people's lives from a suicide, you know, because I'm no better than that, man. I've been in some dark, dark places, man. And I put myself there, but none of us are alone as much as it feels like we are. And none of us are that fucking special. We like to think that no one will understand, like, oh man, you weren't there, you wouldn't understand. Or I get this shit all the time where people are like, oh man, I've been through some shit, dude, but nothing like you. And I stop people right there. I'm like, hey, well, let me just tell you how I view trauma. And I'm like, dude, my trauma is my trauma, yours is yours. Like, it's no better or worse. Like, how it impacts us is based on our own perspective or based on our own life journey in life up to that point, how much we prepared our mind, body, and spirit for violence. And when you don't have time to prepare, like, what are you doing to try to safeguard some of that? And maybe you can't, but just realizing that the impact, that none of this shit is normal that you guys have to deal with almost on a daily basis. Like, some of the shit you see, do the people you deal with, like the pure evil that's out there, like, that has an impact on you guys, and it has an impact on all of us, like, soft veterans. And I think that there's the greatest generation of warriors after 20 plus years that we have that we're losing in the masses, just like you guys are, you know, to taking their own lives. But man, like, if we can just connect that somehow and then, like, bridge the gaps between, like, it gives us, like, say the former me, like, our new mission. It's what I'm doing. And I'm trying to set some of the examples because it helps me hold myself accountable, but it also, I know it's helping other guys that want to step up into this space and give them a new mission. And it's also going to help law enforcement that are out there every day still doing this and reinvigorate why they're doing it. And the fact that they're supported, right? Because it's not like the likelihood of me or you catching somebody in the act of taking their own life is few and far between, and to be able to intervene again, the intervention piece of this. But if something we've said or did, you know, resonates with them in that space, man, holy fuck, what did we just do? We've truly saved lives without having to even be there by setting some sort of example and fucking telling people the truth. Like, I don't have to pound my chest to prove how badass I am anymore. I lived that life. I'm not doing that anymore. Like, I'm here to perform on demand, under stress, to lead and to teach. And I'm not here, and I'm not going to let paper targets defeat me, because you got to push yourself to the point where the wheels come off, the shots start to loosen up. So that way you can actually grow, not staying in that space. But that's what I do with all the training I do, because it's surgical shot placement. It's shooting on the move, and it's responding, like reducing the amount of time and learning how to safeguard certain elements of your own bandwidth in these fight, flight, or freeze environments.
I'm willing to endure the pain of the naysayers, the organizations that are considering my mission to be something that doesn't line up with their liberal ideology, because I know on the other end of it, it doesn't even compete in the importance with the impact we're having for individual human beings and the world. And you said it very clearly. There is a big vulnerability to even do a podcast show like this, because anything that you say that doesn't, I don't know, meet somebody's criteria or is taken out of context, you're on the hook for it. Mm-hmm. And so when you do things like this, you have to be willing to open yourself up and making yourself vulnerable. And unfortunately, some people don't see it the way that they should see it, the appreciation for it. I'm not asking for your appreciation if you're tuning into this podcast. You know, I'm a human being. And if you're taking things out of context and we're not just understanding that, hey, we're doing the best that we can and some things aren't going to come out correctly, and you're holding me accountable for every fucking thing that I'm doing, well, then I implore you to give it a shot. Why don't you come out and do this? And we had it recently. And I always invite people, like, hey, man, if you got so much to say to me on Instagram or Facebook or whatever it may be, come on the podcast. And, you know, it's always run for the hills immediately. They just take off, run for the hills. And the excuse, you're a real tough guy. I say, listen, I don't want to fight you. I'm 40 fucking 1 years old. I'm not here to fucking physically fight you. I want to bring you on and I want to hear your side of it and what your perception is. Maybe I can help clear some things up for you, what we meant by that. But you don't get an opportunity. You're just casting judgment. But it comes back to where is
that
person?
Maybe it'll identify something that a chink in your own armor that you've built that you can't see. And right, that's dude, where, like, being vulnerable and having, right? Yeah. And having, like, that continuing to never have arrived, right? Like, that's the mindset that I try to radiate, is like, I have not arrived as a human, as a father, as a husband, as a trainer, as a teacher, right? As an operator, right? Like, I continue to be a student, and sometimes the best mirrors that you have are some of the people. Some of it's just fucking noise and it's cannon fodder, and they just want it, like, any press is good press, and those people can go fuck themselves because they're not going and doing anything in their lives worth that's even remotely helping the society. So, like, but going back to, like, if they're lacking and they're taking one snippet of something you said or did and showed on social media, and the fact of the matter is that social media is a necessary evil for people like you and I, where, well, yeah, I guess it is from a training perspective. Like, I have to be able to, it's social marketing, right? I have to stay, I want people to stay connected, but I can't give everything away for free as a businessman. Like, I did that for the first year. Like, I've been in business for just over a year now, but, like, the first part of starting this company, like, it was very much like, hey man, you're a good dude, like, let's fucking go, you know, and I'm giving everything away, but if this is going to sustain itself, like, it has to have, like, elements to where we can, like, not just provide.
You gotta make money.
But you have to, there has to be capitalistic elements to an altruistic business, right? This is an altruistic business model that since post Uvalde, I went and drove this. I talked to my kids that when, after that happened, it really just woke my ass up to, cause I was super discouraged, man, from when I started this training a local SRT that was kind of newer, you know, they were recently stood up, and I was, like, helping them out for free. And then I asked them about getting into, like, more of like a period of service or a contract kind of thing. And they were like, well, start an LLC and get insurance and then submit a quote. And I did. And it was like crickets, dude, crickets. And I was like, well, fuck, you know, and mind you, I'm, you know, my pay had been cut substantially, and, you know, I'm like kind of tapping around, like, oh fuck, how am I going to actually just provide the level of living, you know, the living kind of standard of living, excuse me, that I've been able to provide. Now my wife works, but I also want, you know, I'm a man, like, I want to be able to, like, be that a contributing, you know, element to that, not just my retirement. So, you know, long story short, there was a couple months where I just went and was doing private, like, firearms instruction because it was getting me paid right away. And,
bro, all of us had to do that shit.
It was,
right?
Easy. Like, and but then Uvalde happened and it woke my ass up, because, like, it was the first time that my youngest daughter could process things in a way that, you know, she never could up to that point. But I saw fear in her voice, like, when she asked me some questions that right after it happened, and I just started crying, man. And crying's okay. Like, it's one of the things, like, I didn't feel for a long time. I didn't think I could feel, but I hugged her. I hugged all my kids. I went down and told Erica, I was like, I got to go do something. And I drove to San Antonio, fucking traveling circus show with my fucking trailer, and then put on what is now the Protector Mindset course for free for anyone that wanted to show up down there. And I've done that several times last year, with a break, towards the end of the year, where I went and did all the TBI treatment, in San Diego and the psychedelic medicine stuff. And, you know, and that really helped me come back and, you know, reconsolidate, reorganize and this business, my life. You know, when we've changed a lot of the ways that I'm doing it now, but I do know that, like, what it is I'm doing I just finished a Protector Mindset course at my daughter's elementary school for the scenarios. I have a shoot house that I built here at range, but then, you know, the scenarios piece of this is huge for the second day. And I was able to use, through building out relationships in my community here, like, an actual, like, elementary school as a private training company. Like, that's awesome. Like, to be able to, like, make those things kind of line up and happen. And I just finished it on Sunday. And then I Nashville, you know, Nashville happened, the school shooting in Nashville happened. And it just really further validates, like, what it is I'm doing and why. There is no template for, everybody wants an answer. Like, how do we solve these active shooters? I'm like, well, there isn't a template that you can pick up and put down and say, this tactic and technique is going to work. It's the basic principles of room clearance, close quarters battle. And it's a mindset, understanding that exposing yourself to building your confidence, but exposure into these environments in scenario-based training, and I create as realistic as of an environment as possible based on real world experiences, whether they were mine, you know, dealing with some unique experiences that I had, like running into the hotel in Africa to save people, or hostage rescue. And because I've been trained in that, I'm taking elements of hostage rescue, CQB, and applying them into an active shooter response. But I do know that by just exposing yourself to a quality scenarios that's auditory, visually stimulating, it will be less stimulating. It's going to look different when your number gets called. It's all about right place, right time, right person. And there's moments, there's windows where you can actually make a difference. And you have to build your own confidence that these motherfuckers that are doing these attacks are not trained. Even if it's just like a standard patrol officer from the smallest precinct, wherever, a department, like you have more training going through 3 months of BLET than any of these motherfuckers do. So act accordingly and be a protector and believe that and build that confidence, right? And worry about the tomorrow problems tomorrow, right? Am I going to break rank here? Am I getting in trouble? Am I doing something that, oh, fuck me, this policy's in place. Like I got to wait for this command struct thing to be set up before I can actually, or I got to wait for another person. I got to wait for this. If you're saying I got to wait for something, you're not a protector. And that's why the course is called, it's the protector mindset.
So I have a few things. Before I want to ask you a good question, I think they're all good questions, but you know, essentially, there was a rant that I just watched on TikTok. A kid who gets on, he's like, you guys need to stop worrying about like stopping transgender things, and you need to start banning AR-15s. And I'm like, okay, another fucking 19-year-old with no solution. Guys, can we just be very clear on something? There are, I don't know, 50 million gun owners in the country. There's probably I think the country of the United States of America has like half the guns in the world here. There is going to be no piece of legislation that's going to magically take all these guns out of circulation and bring them right back where nobody can have them anymore. On top of that, there are now programs where your criminals are not abiding by the law and they print ghost guns. So that's not going to be a resolution to what this problem is. Unfortunately, the real resolution right now, as I see it, because we know that we'll never have enough personnel based on what the government is dictating to be a top priority, which, by the way, is not your children's safety, because if it was, you've got plenty of veterans that would be school safety officers with one mission in place of to prevent mass shootings. They're not the police. It's literally
stopping them from even happening.
Yeah. So, like, dude, I can't understand why we can't get behind taking. You go to a school, there's 30, 40 teachers in a school. There's always a group of teachers that may be hunters, may have some military background, maybe reserve police officers. Yep. Why are we not putting weapons in the hands of these teachers, teaching them retention, teaching them about concealment so they're not distracting kids, or having places where they can access this just in case? Because I promise you, these teachers, not only do they want to protect these children in general, if something like that happens, I promise you, they're not going to freeze with some training, and they're going to do what teachers do best, and that's care for children. Why are you not giving the fucking football coach, you know, a 12-round magazine with a on a sidearm in the school or wherever it could be, and maybe have access to some of this stuff to try to intervene and stop or at least hold off? I'm going to tell you, if these fucking active shooters know that this stuff is in place, they don't pick hard targets. They pick soft targets.
Yes, I say that all the time.
Yeah, they don't pick hard. So make the target
soft
hard,
people
dude.
And soft targets. Yep.
Yeah, so make the fucking target hard, man. You know, they just don't do that.
People ask me that today or yesterday, like why? They're like, I can't fathom. Neither can I. I can't fathom why someone would want to do this to other like people or especially our fucking children. Like our children, like the
it's fucking
the
ones, yeah.
Like it, but the fact is, I can't fathom that. I can't I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to make sense of that. Like I'm just going to focus on the fact that it is a reality, right? It's a reality. And I can take every bit of that pain away from anyone's child. So I will. Good luck stopping me, armed or unarmed, because I'm armed with fucking this. I'm going in and I'm putting until I'm going to take an element as soon. I'm making my presence known as soon as I can. And I'm never letting go of that shooter's bandwidth until I get my physical presence between good and evil. That's the fucking bottom line. But the fact that, like, to your point about the, like, I had in this course I ran this weekend, one of the cats was a fucking history teacher that was there, that he stepped up, and he's also the football coach, and he stepped up, no LE experience, no mill. He played like college football. And I was beyond fucking, I mean, I even got emotional about this because of people like him stepping up and not, I can't expect all of our teachers to fucking teach, you know, developing our children and also protecting them. Some of them can't do that. And they're not getting paid to do it anyways.
Right.
I'm not saying that you need to be paid, but cops and fucking teachers need to be getting paid a lot more than they are across this whole country. And I firmly believe that. And how are you going to expect them to do all the things, right? And then when they don't do them, or on the surface, it looks like they didn't do their job, you get fucking mad at them, or you want to fire them, or you have to punish them, or all this other bullshit. It's only paralyzing people's ability or desire to want to fucking do anything. So the fact that this teacher was there and some of the things that it was presented to him in some of the scenarios, man, like it shook him and good. Because his mind is now opened even more because he was hungry. He sees the same things that you and I see. So it doesn't have to be someone that's law enforcement background or mill that's in these environments. It's about right place, right time, right person, and then believing in your own ability. And if that doesn't help you, just put yourselves in those child's shoes. Like, they never deserve to feel that type of fear and pain. Like
As adults, we're supposed to be protectors.
I can take that from them, and I will. I don't care whose fucking kid it is. Like, I will, and everyone that I impact and touch and teach and work with, like, that's what I'm trying to radiate is the fact that, man, these motherfuckers are, thank God it's not an organized group conducting these attacks, because boy, we'd be fucked as a society. Like, you'd have to bring in the fucking military to deal with this, because you can't get anyone on the same page as far as LE across this country. Not that they can't do it. They can. They absolutely can. They are positioned to do this. But the fact that every one of these is so unique, the environment, the people, I don't care about the fucking motive. They're evil. But being taking ownership of the fact that, like, they're picking these targets based on, like you said, a soft target. And guess what? Would you want to run into a high school where you got, like, some pretty, like, developed people and, you know, like, students versus an elementary school where it's just they're going to do it regardless, right? So they're going to pick schools. Now, I'm not saying they won't pick high schools. I'm saying they're going to pick softer targets because they're fucking cowards. And the moment that they meet some sort of competent resistance, like, for one, never let go of that. Oh,
they're fucking cowards. Yeah, they're the worst.
They're going to either... Statistically speaking, they're probably going to fucking off themselves right then.
Or surrender.
And, like, that's the part where, like, because this isn't a planned mission, right? We don't have time to plan. You can damn sure plan and prep on your way to responding and trusting the fact that there's a lot of misinformation that happens in these environments. Like, people are, you call active shooter on the radio and it's like, fuck, man. Oh, I saw this over here. Now you have people. I got a brief from the Mandalay Bay shooting when I was at, I did it. I was an instructor at the North Carolina Tactical Officers Association conference a couple weeks ago. And one of the guys that responded to the Mandalay Bay out in Vegas spoke, he did like the case study thing. And for one, like, the reason there wasn't more of a loss of life is because you have people that are out there fucking doing the demographic, right? People are actually out there, like, saving lives, stopping the bleed, you know, being proactive, but the amount of information that reminds me of a point of force multiplying. I think a part of this issue is like, let's all just take ownership of this as a private citizen, as a law abiding citizen that's armed, you know, and able, right? Like me and you show up, converge onto this scene. I'm going in. Like you and I need to force multiply. And now we take what is almost an impossible, not impossible, but a chaotic environment where they have the upper hand. The enemy has the upper hand. They're running around rampant. You don't know where they are, and you're going to search, right? And you're trusting your what you see, what you hear. Like you're trusting all of your senses to help you drive to that threat, direct to that threat as soon as you can. And you have to be able to like never let them go unsighted, but even with when they do go visually unsighted, like you use common sense and logic to like time and distance, how much time they could have covered based on the speed at which I was moving to close that distance, all these things to help you search to go direct to the threat until you can get more feedback, right, from the environment. Damn, I'm going down a whole tangent, but my whole point is that like force multiplying, right? So like, could I stop and save this person's life? Yes, I know I can. Am I better served stopping the killer? Yes. But that doesn't mean as I'm passing by, I don't throw that person a bandage or say, hey, you put pressure on that. Like, and then they're like, well, I don't know what to do. Look at the fucking photos, read the instructions. You know, there will be people that are of sound mind in these environments. There's going to be varied levels of shock, you know, walking wounded, right? Everyone's going to be in this fight, flight, or freeze phase, but there's going to be people that want to help. They just need you to lead and show them what right looks like. And that's where going back to that statement I made about, you know, law enforcement and the guys that are doing it for the right reasons, like, man, there's a ton of those other people that are doing it for the wrong reasons that will follow as soon as you take action and lead. And that is truly what we need is you going into environment and force multiply instead of saying, nope, you guys stay over here, stay in your lane. You stay in your lane. You stay in your lane. Fuck all that. There isn't a lane for this. There's a moment, a window where we have to just respond and we can stop this and change the trajectory of these attacks.
Dude, can we do this again?
Yeah, for sure. Dude, I love it. I want to stay more plugged in with what you guys are doing and be of help. It helps me to have these conversations with you.
I have about 19 questions I'm not going to get to today, but this was fucking great, dude. And I really think that we have a lot more to unpack here.
Yeah.
I have a lot more roads I want to go down. We literally scratched the surface, some things you talked about, and I'm going to have to listen to this episode or retain my notes for the next time you come on, but we'll get this fucking rocking and rolling. This was really good, brother. And where can they find Blue Bearing Solutions? Like, tell me about that.
Yeah. So if you go to, it's spelled BLU, right? So BlueBearingSolutions.com. There's on the homepage there on the website, there is, you can inquire for services. And that's what I always tell different law enforcement agencies and departments. Like if you're interested in wanting to have me come in and whether it's speaking or training, like I that's the start point, right? Fill that. It's a Google form that there's some drop downs. It just gets the conversation going about how we can set things up, and I'll come to you or you come to me, but I'm building resources out here, home base kind of thing. But, you know, this is my priority of like during, like I do my open enrollments on certain weekends, you know, so I can have private citizens and LE that are paying for their own courses. Going back to your point about like, I think that's another big problem is like guys that are like, want to push themselves. They get fucked. Some of them get shit on as the guy, oh, you're just that gear dude. You just want to go like, oh, you're a shooter. You liked all this. I'm like, well, fuck you, man. Like, don't, like, those guys get shit on because they're trying to actually like better themselves. Get the fuck out of here, man. That's goes back to the culture, the environment, and that professional jealousy piece, man. And but with the training stuff, like bluebearingsolutions.com is the best way. On the homepage, it's like inquire for services. Patreon, I've been doing a lot more on Patreon now where it's actually not just like, oh, talk with Kyle, exclusive content. I'm doing training drills where I have my patrons actually submit their them doing them and do like a live stream review for all the patrons. So, and some and longer form videos and instructional stuff, you know, with Patreon. But and then Instagram is kind of my focus. I have the two pages, blue_bearing, and then Kyle Morgan Actual is the best way to reach out to me there.
It's awesome, dude. This was fucking great. I appreciate you so much, dude. Thank you for everything that you're doing. And I know it's not easy at times, but I think it's just part of the deal.
No, it is, man. And likewise, and you have me as a resource, brother. So please stay in touch and let me know how I can help in any way.
Appreciate that. Will do. Guys, if you're in an area where you're trying to get to our classes, but we're not close to you, fret not. We actually have on-demand training at StreetCop.com. You can take that course online right now, and then you could attend that training in the future at no additional cost. You can redeem your voucher, so you get two for the price of one. We don't want to deny you the ability to take this training now, especially knowing that it can keep you safe, at a very minimum, putting bad guys in jail where they belong, and at the maximum, going home to your family. Check out StreetCop.com for that offer.